As Claire said, I am Head of Digital Performance here at Manning Gottlieb, and I am super excited to have such a wonderful panel with us today. So thank you so much for your time. I know you're all busy and important people, so very happy to grab 20 minutes of that time. The guys have discussed today the scale and pace of change in programmatic, and I want to pick your brains about what you think is going to happen over the next 5 years. Can I just get you to introduce yourselves quite quickly? I've only got 20 minutes and Claire will kill me if I go over it. So I'll pass that out.
Damon Reeve, Ozone Project.
Paola Vacaita, Commercial Director for Northern Europe for Zander. I used to be at Nexus.
I'm Maya Mulch. I am on the OMGP programmatic team for UK.
I'm going to start with the last section that Katie talked about, and she talked about how legislation is changing our marketplace today. If we think about that hand in hand with programmatic, we think about how programmatic has been at the forefront of innovation, whether that's been platform innovation, targeting innovation, or data innovation. Does it worry you guys at all that the new legislation and the regulations that are coming out are going to stifle innovation in programmatic?
Yeah, I think I would agree. I mean, the first phase, if you like, of programmatic is almost without brief, just reckless growth in any direction to see what sticks. And I think the consequence of that is a lot of stuff that wasn't really great for users. And I think we're now dealing with the kind of the rebound of that, where the advocate of the user is the regulator, and they're saying, we don't like that. These are the things that need to change in terms of data usage, and well, primarily data usage. But so I think within a framework that everyone works within, so there's a level playing field, there doesn't need to be any stifling of innovation. If anything, it's a more sustainable version of innovation. So it's a good one.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think it's a symptom of maturity. We're in an industry that is very young. We've gone through the teenage years of inconsistent growth and a lot of emotional roller coasters. We've learned as we went, because as the internet appeared, the media industry appeared too. So the ones that we've been around for long enough, we've seen how we're just improvising on a daily basis. And this is just a symptom of becoming a mature industry, and legislation comes with it. And as we started, the customer wasn't at the center of the decisions that were being taken. And it's important to stop for a second and think about it. And from a technology point of view, our responsibility is to create healthy ecosystems. And that can only happen with two things. One, standardizing best practices. It's not just about the company's decision what best practice is. It's going to be a consistent approach. And on the other hand, it's got to be safe for the user.
The only thing I would add is I think we already are innovating in positive ways in programmatic still to this day. I mean, as you saw from Chris coming from the OMG programmatic team, we're re-evaluating the way that we interact with the programmatic supply chain, completely flipping that on its head, and providing benefits to publishers, providing benefits to clients as well. And we think that's a huge innovation that's already taking place in the world of programmatic today. And that's never going to stop, right? We're never going to stop kind of resting on our laurels, because we wouldn't have jobs if we did.
Something we've talked about a lot today is Google's announcement to remove third-party cookies in the next 24 months. People have done this before. Obviously, we talked about the other browsers that have done it before, but the scale of this is going to be massive for us in the way we plan, the way we activate, the way we measure, and for me, really importantly, the way we measure is really important for me. How do you guys think we're going to get over those challenges and move on in the next 5 years?
Who wants it?
You
want to
go?
I'll go right back to
me.
I think measurement's going to be kind of one of the core things we have to look at. Digital has become the mantra, measure it because you can. And I think now we have to take a step back and think about measurement across channels. How is everything performing in total alignment? Start looking at things like incremental reach, and not just what is our kind of core metric that we're measuring just because we can. So I think measurement's going to evolve. We're probably going to be looking at things like potentially, as Katie said, aggregated data in the privacy sandbox example, panel-based data to measure outcomes. So it's not necessarily always going to be a one-to-one, but I think we will measure things in a more kind of cohesive way across multiple media channels.
Yeah, I think also we need to, I mean, first of all, it's not a surprise. I think we were all expecting this to be announced. If anything, it's given the industry a timeline, which is also a good thing, because now we know when everybody has to be ready. But on the other hand, if we think about, if we give a bit of perspective on how we use cookies, when Tim Berners-Lee invented the internet, at the absolute very beginning of this, the first ever HTML protocol included cookies as a way to track users. We've only done it one way. That just gives us a clue that it may not be the best way. It's just the only way that we've ever looked at users. And now that we're looking at customer-centric and safety and privacy, it is important to stop and rethink how we've been doing things. It's not, I think there's a general panic across the industry. It's okay to pause for a second and think, maybe this wasn't the best way to do it.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, it's these are good changes. And I guess I think about it in a couple of different ways. One is, I've never been a massive fan of the preoccupation with data collection and deterministic data models. And this is an opportunity to finally change. And I guess the other browsers, so Safari and Firefox making changes, what that meant was we all just continued doing the same things as we did before, but just on Chrome. And then we kind of just dealt with the other browsers separately, as opposed to actually making any changes. And now this is an opportunity to change stuff. My only kind of hope is that, as opposed to everyone sticking to Google's roadmap and saying, right, we've got 2 years, let's wait to see what Google does, everyone in this room actually leans in and starts to innovate, to your previous point, yeah, around a new world. You know, this is for us to create the new world and to write the script for the things that we want to measure and how we want to measure and make sure that it works for business, and not just kind of sit back and wait and see what the platforms do, because I don't think that's in anyone's best interest.
Thank you. And kind of on that point, a lot of our clients have invested in tech stacks and specifically DMPs. After the news of the cookies, the removal of cookies, there's been a lot of damning headlines. I mean, I think I saw one that said the DMP is dead. And our clients are obviously worried about that. They've invested a lot of money into their DMPs and wondering what happens next. What would you say to our clients who are concerned?
I guess what I would say is, don't let the solution drive the strategy, if you like.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it definitely requires a rethink, because you've got technologies that are founded on either customer data or anonymous kind of cookie-based data. And that is clear that that's not practical. That doesn't mean to say that those are wasted investments, but again, as we sort of evolve in terms of all of these discussions around how do we target, how do we understand kind of audience targeting, how do we measure, I think the output of that will be what the DMP of the next version of the DMP looks like. So I don't think any of that's going to be wasted investment, but we just don't know right now what that answer will be.
I mean, the death of the third-party cookie affects advertisers and publishers in a different manner, right? But from an advertising perspective, some strategies will have to be adjusted, and not every brand is making the most out of the connections that they already have to users, and all of that first-party data is still very much actionable. So there will be lots of brands rethinking their own strategy. There will be way more direct collaboration between publishers and brands, because they are the two left with our relationships to customers. There's a ton of opportunity there for premium environments and brands to work together, which brings a ton of also contextual opportunities that, you know, context is going through a rebirth thanks to all of this. And then from a publisher perspective, there's a lot of value in their first party data that should be exploited and used. From a technology point of view, our role is to deliver more and more features and technology that allows them to do that,
yeah,
in a safe, legal manner. But all of this is just it's just a whole load of new opportunity, and we're already seeing a lot of proposals and different ways to treat data. So if you have a close relationship to your DMP, talk to them about it.
Yeah, I would just add, if you do have a DMP, and as Katie mentioned earlier, you know, it's still a good usage of housing your customer data, and there's potentially different ways that that can be used moving forward. There's still a lot of, you know, things in progress here, but talk to your DMP about their roadmap, how they're approaching these changes. Consult with your agency team here on sort of questions you might have, and, you know, I think the DMP as we know it today is probably going to change, and that will kind of take shape over the next course of months.
You mentioned there that context is going to be key again. How would you suggest that our planners and our buyers balance the behavioural targeting versus the contextual targeting moving forward?
Thinking about them as not disconnected things. So context, brands have been way more aware of the value of context than the rest of the players in the industry. Brands have been always very aware that it looks very different depending on their own brand looks very different depending on the environment or the medium where they are exposing themselves to the customer. I mean, I was working at the Times over 10 years ago, and we did this test of the little black dress and the little black suit, which was basically we showed an NPU with a black dress, no brand, nothing, no even head, it was just a dress, and the same with a suit in a portal, the Times, and another red top. And after a while, they asked the exposed users the value of that dress, and it went from, I think it was from £60 to £140, depending on where the black dress was exposed. And this is not news for anybody, but now, fast forward 10 years, there's a lot of technology that can help to use context in a way more sophisticated manner. I mean, Illuma is doing amazing stuff by creating patterns of behavior based on context. They can see what context performs better and then build a pattern that describes behavior without tracking a user or using cookies in any way, shape, or form. That's really cool stuff that is already available for brands to use. And we're seeing more and more sophisticated brands using technology like Illuma to make the most out of medium.
Sorry. I was just going to say that, you know, audience data has always been, or context has always been a proxy for your audience data. And I think we will see potentially a shift into more granular context data and environment and those sorts of non-privacy related data signals become more important to the media planning process and making sure that we are kind of maximizing all of the data assets that we do have available in the future.
There's just one point I'll make on context, because Ozone only works with news publishers and generally the nationals, so this is a core part of our strategy. It's important to understand the impact that brand safety tools have on deep editorial environments. And so, yes, context does matter, but misuse of tools ultimately will push budgets into kind of poorer or lower quality environments that is not necessarily the right contextual environment, from my opinion. So I think that there is an overlap there in terms of not only the targeting capabilities, but also the better use of negative targeting or suppression.
Brilliant, thank you. Okay, I'll carry on. So we talked a lot about the value of first-party data and how that's going to become more valuable in the next couple of years. Do you think this is going to create more walled gardens, and how do we overcome the challenges we already see with walled gardens?
I do think we might see a potential shift into more walled gardens in the short term. I think what makes a walled garden? And to me, it is the ownership of some media properties as well as first-party data. And, you know, there's speculation that there could be more walled gardens that come into play as mergers and acquisitions across the media landscape and the kind of content creation landscape happen. So I think in terms of the privacy side of things, we might see a short-term consolidation into walled gardens, because they do have first-party data that is readily available. But I think long-term, that strategy will shift back into a more kind of level playing field. And then also we have the regulators looking at walled gardens as well. So they might break up, disintermediate, and become different businesses. So we just don't know exactly yet.
Yeah, I totally agree. At the beginning, the whole industry will gravitate towards scale solutions that have data, which is the actual definition of the benefits of a walled garden. So they will benefit from it. That will be the immediate response. However, publishers are already reacting to it, and they react either with subscription models, where they create environments that have rich data because of the subscription model. The only problem is that reduces reach, and it has a reaction of less consumer options. They are going to pick a limited number of publishers that they are going to pay for, so that restricts growth. And the other one, and I won't go deep into it because Damon will cover it for sure, is the idea of coalitions, where publishers can consolidate great environment. They have the reach, they have the data, and they can very healthily compete with the walled gardens. So I totally agree. At the beginning, yes, they will benefit from it, but it won't take long until the industry reacts against it.
So I guess it's a definition thing to some extent. So the concept of a walled garden, meaning that there is these silos that nothing kind of leads, so it all bleeds outside. There is no interoperability. I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think that you have to break down what the different data sharing logic is. So identity, for example, is a kind of a core aspect of a walled garden, which is if you don't pass individual one-to-one IDs, then it won't work. But as we've said before, that whole concept is starting to change. You know, so the idea that user level or one-to-one data is somehow going to be passed around, it's likely in the next couple of years that's going to change anyway. So then you're kind of looking at interoperability around what segment data or what other information is shared to be able to improve targeting or identifying users. And again, if we move into a slightly fuzzier logic around, there will be more thought, well, there already is, but more thought gone into what data is being shared and why and what the value is. And that immediately means that openness is not quite the same thing that it used to be. But I don't necessarily agree that everything will end up in just these kind of hard silos where there will be no interoperability.
Yes. Brilliant. But one more question. With your channel neutral hats on, which media channel do you think will benefit the most out of automation and the application of data in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I'd agree on the more of an introduction of brand budgets and sort of brand strategy and consideration around digital. I guess it's hard for me to think neutrally and kind of have authority to talk outside of a digital display world, but I do think that from an environment point of view, back to context, I think contextual environments will be thought about differently. Again, the distinction between editorial governed environments that are rich and kind of premium content versus other will become more important as the message, more emphasis is placed on the message and environment. So I think that, which plays into a brand strategy. So I think that that's an area that we're expecting is going to grow significantly.
It's really nice to think about how programmatic is often seen as short term. So the longer brand stories are lovely way to think about it.
I think if we look at what is happening in the US at the moment, and Xandr bought Clipped to make linear TV addressable, there's not just in the US but in many markets in Europe too, content companies are teaming up with telcos to use their data. I think the medium that will benefit the most will be premium TV, because for the first time, not that it hasn't happened before, I know Sky just presented it is happening already, but I think it's a medium that is going to use data in a way smarter manner. We're already seeing how we can frequency cap based on households, which is super interesting stuff, and the amount of opportunities that are coming from those two things, making TV linear addressable and using data when buying TV. I think it will be very, very interesting.
There's two other areas I think are interesting to watch in the kind of programmatic space, and just keeping in mind that programmatic basically means the application of automation for your buying. I think I personally love a good podcast, and as more podcasts move into a streaming format, I think that opens up really interesting opportunities for programmatic ad insertion for our clients across the group in podcasts, which have been very much a static downloaded format historically. So I think that's a shift that is changing, and meanwhile that kind of listenership is growing from year over year in terms of how many people are listening to podcasts. And then the other way area is digital out of home, really interesting space. The more kind of out of home space that you create in a digital environment, the more data points you can do, the more time of day targeting you can do. And so I think that's a really interesting space to watch, and something that we are moving in toward from a OMG programmatic standpoint as well.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I think the overall message is don't panic. It's going to be all right. Really interesting to hear about what you're saying about widening the scope of what we currently do and how context is going to be more important, but also with a behavioural angle. So thank you so much for your time. It's been wonderful having you.